Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Space, the final frontier.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds. To boldly go where no one has gone before.
Engage. Enterprise.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Captain Janeway.
Captain Sisko.
This is Captain Jonathan Archer.
Red alert.
Photon torpedoes, fire.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Engage. Make it so.
With your host, Jordan Hoffman.
That, sir, is illogical.
And to make sure history never forgets.
This is Engage.
Failing frequencies open, sir.
Yes, and we're back. Hello. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Engage, the official Star Trek podcast. I am your host, Jordan Hoffman. With me, as always, Brian in the booth.
Good morning, sir.
How are you? Brian, I'm a little annoyed today.
Oh, no. What did I do now?
No, you. It's not you. It's never you, my friend. I'm annoyed because it's one of those days that it's simultaneously hot but also raining in New York.
Yeah, so it's very humid. And
we need better terraforming down here on the Eastern Seaboard. It's disgusting outside, and I come in, and God, I got to say, I love it here at the Play.it Network, and it's 300 different corporate owners. It's wonderful. Everybody treats me real nice, but I go to get a cup of coffee, and the coffee machine is fine, and you got 1,000 cups there, and you got 1,000 lids there. So I take one cup, I fill it up with hot, hot, hot coffee, and then I take a lid, and all the lids are the wrong size.
Yes, that is known to happen here. Everyone complains about it, and they so what happens is they order the wrong cups, and then people complain about it, so they order the right cups, but in the meantime, they've ordered the lids for the wrong sizes, and so it's always just like off by a month.
So then I get coffee all over my pants. All over my hand. I kind of had my phone in my hand because I was looking something up for today's show. It's a, you know, this Captain's Kirk, Picard, Archer, Sisko, certainly Janeway would not allow this. So I'm going to say that to my friends who run the coffee department here, you are now on gamma shift, and I want to see this cleaned up by the next time. But other than that, everything is great. And it's good to see you. We've been doing a little bit of traveling. We've been bi-weekly. The last show with Michael Westmore was, by my standards, I thought it was quite good. But I got some good feedback from listeners. I got my favorite kind of feedback, Brian. You know what I got?
What'd you get?
I got from two people. Listener Holly, here in New York, who I love, and another listener whose name I don't remember, both said to me via social media that this was an episode that even people who hate Star Trek would love.
There you go. What better praise can you get than that?
Well, no, what I mean is I want to do that once in a while. Because, you know, I know people come up to me sometimes and in my life and they say, hey, man, you should have a podcast. I'm like, I do have a podcast. And they go, well, I don't want to listen to a Star Trek podcast. I don't like Star Trek. And they go, A, why are we friends if you don't like Star Trek? Because Star Trek rules. And B, all right, so you don't really care about a deep dive on, you know, the episode The Magics of Magus 2 from the animated series like we did that one time. So every X amount of podcasts, I'm going to do one that is of general interest. And Michael Westmore, who was our last guest, was the special effects makeup designer for 18 years from TNG all on through Nemesis. But he also worked on, as we discussed, Raging Bull and Rocky, and his father and his grandfather. You know, his uncle designed the Creature from the Black Lagoon. You know, it was a family of makeup. They're the first family of Hollywood makeup.
Family of legends.
Family of legends. So anyway, that's what led the last week's show was. But then we were away. You were traveling. You were in Dallas, Texas, right?
Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
Close enough.
How's Houston doing?
It's good. I just visited some family.
You
so
have
I didn't
some
really
family
do too much.
Okay.
Yeah,
did so. You wear a hat? A gallon hat?
I did not wear a gallon. You know, I didn't see too many of those, believe it or not.
Yeah. I've been to Austin a number of times, and I have bought right there on Congress Street. There's a shop, a famous cowboy shop.
Okay.
I think it's legit. I mean, now it's touristy, but I think back in the day, like, real cowboys went there. I don't remember the name of the store. And I bought one of those shirts, those, like, real cowboy shirts.
Okay, yeah, with the, like, the thing on the shoulder.
Yeah, and, the shoulder, yeah. And it's got, like, bedazzled stuff.
Yes.
There's, like, scorpions on it. It's, you know, like Johnny Cash used to wear
those
shirts.
Yes, exactly.
So I bought one, and it wasn't cheap. It was, like, $75.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I break it out at, like, special events.
Like
and,
when you go back to Austin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, when I go there, then I look like a putz. But, you know, when I wear it somewhere else. So you were in Austin. The reason I'm bringing this up is I was on a vacation with my beautiful wife in Portugal, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Portugal's great. But I'm building to something here. Portugal was there to drink the wine, to taste the seafood, to see the history. A lot of castles. Very Game of Thrones in Portugal.
They might film some of that there, too.
I would not be surprised. I know they do some in Seville, which is in Spain, which is pretty close. You know, that's like the New Jersey. New Jersey is the... Portugal is the New Jersey to Spain, of the Iberian Peninsula. Anyway, I'm going to quiz you, Brian. Now, how well do you remember your history? What is Portuguese history? What is their biggest claim to fame?
I have no idea.
Well, think about where they are on the map. What's to their left? The Atlantic Ocean. They are known for the age of... That's right, Brian. The age of exploration.
Oh, yes. That's what
on the tip of your tongue. All the great explorers... Well, not all of them, but Vasco da Gama, Magellan, Henry the Navigator, the dude who found Brazil, the first Westerner, whose name I'm blanking on right now, Queta, I think his name was. Well, anyway, so they've gone in, like, that's their gimmick, right? Is like, these statues are everywhere of Vasco da Gama, and they're really plugged for tourists, you know, the age of exploration. You know, they're very proud of that aspect of their history, as they should be. So I'm there as a tourist, and I'm going around. You go to the museums, you go where tourists go, and I got all these, like, my head is filled with, like, all this, like, age of exploration stuff, and it's very exciting. I'm thinking about Captain Picard, who would love this stuff, and I'm thinking about Janeway, and I'm thinking about Archer, and I'm thinking about Zefram Cochrane. I'm thinking about all of our beloved explorers here in the Star Trek universe. Now, they have a gig in Lisbon, the capital, which is called the... Mercado Feria, which is translates loosely as the Thieves Market. And the Thieves Market happens twice a week in Lisbon, and it's happened for centuries. Like, there's it goes back to at least the 16th century, and some say even 1,000 years ago, in the same spot on X amount of times a week, people will come and bring their junk, and it's a big swap meet. It's like the To put it in New Jersey terms, it's like the English town auction of medieval Iberia, right? But it's very romantic, and it's in this section of town called the Alfalma District, where it's all like ancient steps and, you know, 500-year-old churches and whatnot. It's very beautiful. And there are some lovely antiques you could buy there. So we go to the Thieves Market, right? And, you know, I've got my head filled with, like, you know, all like Zefram Cochrane and Kirk and all the Age of Exploration. And then I find on a desk... Somebody's put out, like, just in the middle of the road, this ancient cobblestone road that's on an angle. Old books, right? A lot of people brought old books in Portuguese. But then I see underneath the pile this kind of odd rectangular-shaped book, which I don't have with me. I should have brought it. But basically what it was a Star Trek book from 1971.
Oh, wow.
It was a tie-in product. And what it was like a photo novel, not photo novel. It was like a summary of the original series.
Okay.
Of big episodes. So Space Seed, right? And you would go to it and it would have little images on each page. But here's the kicker. They were, it's a sticker book, which I'd never seen before. So you could, if you really like this one image of Khan and Kirk tussling, you could peel it off. There were like dozens of these tiny little rectangular stickers, and you could put it on your book bag or whatever the heck you want.
Is it one of those ones that like the stickers are reusable?
I don't think so. I think once you
I remember that being when I was a kid, that was like a big thing. What were they called? Like
I never heard of reusable stickers, but these, I think once you commit, you're stuck.
Okay.
But they were all in there, the stickers. And it was, you know, in very good condition. And it's all in Portuguese, which I found to be really cool. So it had Portuguese summaries of all the episodes, and then key images were stickerfied. So I immediately take a picture and I send it to the CBS licensing team, Mary and John Van Sitters, and they're all like, what the heck is, oh my God, I got to see this. This is wild. So I go to the guy and I'm like, well, who knows what he's going to want for this? This is probably, I think this is a little bit of a find. You know, I've never seen anything quite like it in English, let alone in Portuguese, and in good condition. €1.
Wow.
€1, which at current exchange is $1.08. $1.8.2 or something like that. So that's exciting. So, you know, the explorers are with you wherever you go, in the past or in the future. And that made for a good experience. So that's a lot of fun. The other thing I wanted to talk about, I'm a little amped up. I'm a little pugnacious today, Brian. I wanted to say to all the listeners, I wanted to tell all the listeners to everybody take a deep breath, because some sources on the internet, you know, when there's a news vacuum, they start to flip out. So in the last couple of weeks, there hasn't been any specific new news or images or video about Discovery. And this has inspired some writers on the internet to look for a quick fix of web traffic and to once again say the sky is falling. Now, we discussed this a while ago. It was not the greatest thing that the one-time showrunner Brian Fuller is now not the showrunner. We like Brian Fuller, but his former lieutenants are now in control, and we don't really know anything. And what these articles have been saying is just a lot of regurgitated speculation. And I've been ignoring it, but there was one particular outlet, one particular writer. I'm not going to say the person's name. I will say their outlet, though. Their outlet is io9/Gizmodo, which is often a very good website. Some of my best friends write for io9. No, I do. I have some friends that work there now, and some of we've had on the show. We had Annalene Newitz, who was the co-creator of io9. She's not there anymore, and certainly some other great people used to work there that have gone on to other things. There's one particular writer at IO9 who just seems to be that this individual's beat is just Chicken Little, Sky is Falling about Star Trek every couple of weeks. And she's been going at it a lot lately. And there was something that really bugged me, which was pretending that there was new news in the first paragraph, and then just actually when you finally read the thing, which had a really incendiary headline, like, you know, what the F, and not F, the actual word, is going on in Star Trek. And then
I think I actually read this article.
Yeah, and then you go, oh my God, what the hell happened? And then you read it, and it's like, I know all this.
Yeah.
And what were the topics? The topics were, they don't have a release date. Okay, fine. They don't have a release date. All right. So when the show's ready, you know why? Because it's got a lot of special effects. They did have this hiccup with the showrunner. And it's on a streaming platform, and they get to kind of run their own rules. Maybe that's kind of good in a way that they don't have their own release date. Let it happen when it happens. Like, everybody's all crazy about the new pop and R&B albums just kind of appear out of nowhere, right? You're on the internet and they go, oh my God, Drake dropped a new album that no one was expecting. Oh my God. And then you go, wow, that's really cool. So it doesn't work that way for Star Trek, I guess. All right, so that's one point of contention. The other point of contention was there was apparently a meeting that took place a year ago between the producers and Michael Dorn, potentially talking about the concept of him returning as one of Worf's elders, which has happened canonically before in Star Trek VI, and it didn't pan out for reasons that we're not really privy to, right? I mean, what the only people who really know are the people that were in that room. And it was never a concrete thing, and then he was written out of the show. It was a meeting a year ago. Meetings happen all the time in Hollywood.
Meetings happen here all the time.
Yeah,
meeting. Not that they matter.
Meeting about the coffee lids, maybe.
Yes.
Why don't you have that meeting?
I'm going to call that today.
So meetings happen all the time. Hey, listen, Michael Dorn in the show. Oh my God, that would be amazing. But it, you know, it didn't pan out. There were probably a dozen other meetings like that that probably happened that didn't make that didn't leak. Right. So that was the other thing. And the third thing that bugged me was, you see, that's the thing. There was nothing. There was no news. It was just. All right, let me look at this.
It's a long article, too, for not right. really having anything to say.
And here, yeah, exactly. It's a long, long article. And it just sort of regurgitated the Fuller news, which is not news, but it sounds very incendiary. And here's what annoys me, Brian. Here's why I'm yelling and screaming this rainy, disgusting day. IO9, formerly of the Gawker Empires, was cool in that they would always be very transparent about their traffic. So it has a little number next to it, and you can see how many people clicked on the article. So 107,300 people clicked on it. That's a lot of people for a dopey little science fiction blog. 107,000 people.
We just added to it.
Yeah, all right. So clearly, there's going to have to be a follow-up. So 2 weeks later, there was another bit of news. And then I'm going to shut up because I don't want to pick on this person. I'm sure she's lovely. I've never met this or I haven't even said her name because I don't want to pick on her. But I'm sure she's lovely. And everybody's got a job to do, and it's probably her editor's fault. But anyway, okay. New article later begins at this point, and this is a joke, but it's also obnoxious. At this point, I would like to see a show based on the making of Star Trek Discovery more than the actual Star Trek Discovery. What is happening over there? All right, it's a gag, but also, like, it's not that. Like, yeah, it made a little bit of news that they changed executive producers, but that, you know, this is the way things are done. It's just that because it's Star Trek, everybody's got it under the microscope. You know, things get changed. So here's the thing. Previously, Shahzad Latif was supposed to be playing a Klingon named Commander Kahl. Now he's playing Lieutenant Tyler, who I swear to God is officially described with the very informative, a Starfleet officer in the Federation. Why is this sky is falling? First of all, what do you mean supposed to play a Klingon? What do you mean supposed? There's no supposed to. They're making a new show.
We don't know yet.
They're making a new show. And they click supposed to, and then you deep click into it. And it's not an official press release. It was something on Deadline, which is a Hollywood gossip site. Well, not gossip, but a Hollywood trade site that often trades in unofficial news. So there's no this. You know what this is? I hate to say it. This is what they talk about. This is fake news.
Oh my God, it is.
Fake news. All right, so the point is that this person's all, and then there's a further article, Star Trek is a disaster, oh my God, the show is a mess because this actor changed roles. Well, we have no idea why this happened, and we have no idea whether or not the person was hired, but they didn't yet know where the person was going to fit into the jigsaw puzzle. Maybe they hadn't even written the character Lieutenant Tyler, and they said, oh my God, Latif is perfect for that. We've got this other dude over here who can play Lieutenant Klingon Commander Cole. There's no factual evidence here. All there is the last article did 107,000 clicks, and this one did close to 59.3. So why am I bringing this up? Am I doing this to make fun of IO9? Absolutely not. I actually like IO9 99.3% of the time. They do a lot of good coverage. I'm bringing it up to my fellow Star Trek fans who, I admit, like myself, can sometimes get a little edgy, right? Because we really, you know, we're nervous people sometimes. My point is this. Wait until the show comes out. If it stinks, hate it. If it stinks, you'll be the first to hear it from me. I'll be the one telling you it stinks. But let's wait until it comes out first.
I agree.
And let's not say I'd like to see a documentary about the making of the show more than actual Star Trek, because that's silly. I know it's a joke and she was kidding around, but that's kind of a silly thing. Who really, you know, what would be the behind the scenes? A bunch of people in offices, a bunch of people in conference rooms going, oh, well, the line item of this budget is a little high. Oh, that actor that we thought was going to play the Klingon, what if he plays the human? Oh, good idea there, Greg. Okay, great. Let's see if he'll go for it. Call his agent.
We'll just put some dramatic music under it and just, you know,
right.
Ramp it up a bit.
Right. You know what's going to be great? New Star Trek, for God's sake.
Yes.
And if it's not great, it'll be good. It's gonna
it'll
be good.
It'll be something.
It'll be good. How can it not be at least good? The worst episode of Star Trek is still a little bit good because they're on the ship, they're flying around, they're wearing cool uniforms. I'm telling you, the very worst episode of Star Trek, and The Children Shall Lead, season 3 of the original series, still is kind of fun. Give me a break. Star Trek is great, And IO9 is usually great, but that one episode annoyed me. Send your hate mail to me. And maybe we should get that author on the show. I'm sure she's very nice, and I don't want to pick on her, but nevertheless, I just have. So there you go. We have some great guests today. We have some other Star Trek podcasters, which we've had on the show before. We've had a few other podcasters. I want to get more. The folks from the Priority One podcast are coming on to school me in Star Trek Online, which is going to be great. And Priority One podcast has been around. They've been around for a long time. They've been around for many years. I don't know the number, but like maybe a decade or so,
That's a
long time. I may be misstating, and we're going to find out. That's my favorite thing, is asking questions when I don't know the answer. I'm not ashamed to say I don't know. I'm not ashamed to say wait and see.
Well, they do have over 300 episodes, so.
If they have 300 episodes and that's weekly, who can do the math? There's 52 weeks in a year, but let's say they take 2 weeks off for holidays. That's 50.
So you say, wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to ask them. We have two guys from the Priority One podcast on today. Incidentally, that groovy photo book I was just talking about earlier, I'm going to have images from that on the Facebook page, which I hope you subscribe to. Hit like at facebook.com/engage the official Star Trek podcast, all one long word. I'm not going to scan the images in because I don't have a scanner, but I will take some high-res photos with my iPhone. How does that sound? So, cool. Check that out, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Engage.
Engage.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Energize.
Oh, we're back. Okay. I hope those are some good commercials for you. Today is exciting because we have in our studios here on Deck 44 two fellow Star Trek podcasters. Now, Brian, this is not the first time we've had other podcasters on the show.
That is
but
correct.
Never on Deck 44. We've had our friends, the Women at Warp. We're on in Vegas. Our friends, Jara from Ottawa and her band of motley fellow podcasters. And there was the Trekkie Girls from London. I think they're more vloggers than podcasters. And this is all, I'm just saying this to pour salt in my friend Scott Kalura's wound. My good friend runs a Star Trek podcast called Transporter Room 3, and I've yet to have him on the show. And I just, I'm saying this just to mock him. But one of these days we'll have him on the show. He lives out on Long Island, so the chances of him coming in here are few and far between. But the reason why our friends are on today, other than just because we want to have other podcasters on the show, because we love these people, is let's go back in time a few weeks ago when we I had my buddy Frito on. And we originally had him on because we wanted to talk about old Star Trek games, video games, because he is a gamer and I am not. And primarily we were talking about games from the 90s, and we were talking about the VHS game, which was a lot of fun. And then we started talking about games of today. And he was really jazzed about timelines, the social media, not social media.
Mobile. The mobile,
mobile game. Thank you. The mobile app, which I have played a few times since. And it's fun, and it's free at first also. So we were talking about that, and he was crewing me, telling me all about how that works. And then we were talking about the incredibly Byzantine but very entertaining tabletop game called Ascensions, which they just announced an expansion pack for. You can now play as the Borg, or I think the Borg plays against you or something like that, which I had played at a friend's house, and it takes 5 hours, and it's ludicrous, and there's tiles all over the table, and there's little pieces, and the rule book is 1,000 pages long. It's very amusing. And then we were talking a little bit about Star Trek Online, and Frito was like, yeah, I'm not really into Star Trek Online. It's not really for me. And he's like, it's complicated. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I said, well, you know, I believe it or not, when Star Trek Online first was announced, I went to a press event, and they let me touch the buttons and whatnot, and Zachary Quinto was there, and he knew less about the game than I did, but he was very nice. And that was many years ago, and then I haven't really played since. And then we sort of just got on with our conversation. We were talking more about timelines. Now, little did I know that there were those members out there in the Star Trek Online community who were a little bit annoyed. Some might even say aggravated I don't want to say angry. I think angry is too much. But I will say a little bit annoyed. They were like, whoa, hold the phone. Hold your podcasting mic. Don't just run over Star Trek Online, which has A, been around for 7 years, and B, according to many sources, is, if you look at it from a certain angle, the canonical extension of post-Nemesis prime timeline Star Trek. Post-Nemesis, post-Spock through the wormhole, which is actually after Nemesis, right? Mm-hmm. Post-Spock, to some, to those Philistines like myself who only watch film and television, the last moment of the prime timeline right now, barring the comics, is Spock goes through the wormhole and to chase Nero. And that's it. Which, in a way, is actually a nice little button. I kind of like that as the last spot, you know. But the gamers disagree. And two of the gamers are outside the door right now. We're going to beam them in. We're going to do a podcast-to-podcast transport. We've never done this before.
Hope nothing goes wrong.
No, we've never. We're going to do them individually. So first, we're going to bring in, from all the way in Princeton, New Jersey, we're going to bring in Elijah. Whoa, here he comes.
Hello, everybody. Hey, as I am materializing, I am speaking. I have that kind of control.
Oh, great. And we're going to bring in his cohort. We're going to bring in all the way from Rhode Island, from Warwick, Rhode Island, with coffee, milk in hand, and clear chowder. Here comes Jake from Rhode Island.
Why didn't anybody tell me my butt was this big?
Hey, there you go. All right, good. So, guys, thanks for coming. And you have agreed to give me a little bit of an education vis-a-vis Star Trek Online. Now, I did go back and listen to what I... Well, no, I didn't go back. I was going to go back. But I'm pretty sure I was never negative about Star Trek Online. I merely said that it was not for me, and it looks really cool, and I don't know how to play. And then I figured my friend Frito did, because he plays all the other games, and he's like, yeah, it's not really for me, too. But so that was a bit of a bust. But luckily, it is for you guys. And I do have some questions. But before I get into that, let's talk a little bit about Priority One Podcast, which is one of the longest living podcasts out there.
Mm-hmm. Five years.
Mm-hmm. A five-year mission for Priority One.
That's right.
Can I just get a thing? Hold on. Let me put this on. Hold on. There's a Priority One message coming in on my phone. I thought I had it on airplane mode.
The magic of post-production and editing, right?
No, we're gonna leave it all in on our show. Brian knows to leave in the errors. That's part of the fun. My phone is bothering me. Okay, good. So 5 years, mm-hmm. and your show Priority One is a Star Trek podcast about all things. When there's new Discovery news, or more likely when there's no new Discovery news, which mm-hmm. is normally the case. And you know, when the new movie comes out, or when, you know, Marina Sirtis is in an independent film, you're covering all that. But you do have a primary focus on Star Trek Online. That's sort of your bread and butter.
Absolutely. We call it from week to week, we cover the Star Trek multiverse, right? Because there's just so much already at this point. And then we have a whole segment dedicated to Star Trek Online. And for the last 5 years, we have reported on the latest news, latest updates, seasons, patch notes, you name it. And we've been fortunate enough to have several of the developers of the game from Cryptic Studios on our show to really get under the hood of Star Trek and talk about Star Trek Online and talk about what the latest updates are.
Nice. And there's a bunch of you in your crew. Mm-hmm. It's not just you, and absolutely, it's not just Jake. There's others. You have a co-host named...
Kenna. And Tony. The nice thing about our podcast is...
And there's an Irish dude.
Yeah, there's an Irish dude, Winters. that's what I was about to say, is that we are global, right? We're not in any one studio location. We have the flexibility and the fortune to be able to record in our basements, in our homes, and then bring it all together in post-production to make it sound like we're all in one room. So we've got Winters in Ireland, Tony in Kansas City, Kenna in Florida, Jake in Rhode Island. We have people in Minnesota, West Coast. We've gone as far as Australia as well.
And this, to a certain degree, correct me if I'm wrong, mirrors a little bit the gameplay of Star Trek Online, that mm-hmm. you can build a crew... And, you know, you're from all over the place, but you put your headphones on and you can scream at one another and, you know, Leroy Jenkins, right?
That's the one gaming term I know.
Got to whip that out early, right? You can scream Leroy Jenkins at each other. Yep. So that's fun. Okay, so here's the deal. I love Star Trek, and I certainly keep up with the books and the comics, but when it comes to the games, I'm all thumbs. So I have sort of been benignly neglecting Star Trek Online, but I know there's a lot going on both in terms of gameplay, but also storyline. So I'm going to ask some very basic, what some might even call very dumb, entry-level questions. But I know that there are other listeners out there that are asking the same questions. Mm-hmm. And I have no shame, so I'm willing to make myself look like a fool and ask these very silly questions that to you is common sense, but to a non-gamer is confusing and perplexing. So let's go with the biggie right here. Now, when you guys say there's a new season, right, and they're up to season 13 just
That's
launched,
right.
I was doing a little bit of my homework. If I was tomorrow to go and start Star Trek Online, to sign up, and it's like a monthly subscription fee.
Actually, no, it's free to play.
It's free to play, and then there's
Star Trek Online. You can pay additional money to get some enhancements, but generally, you can go from level 1 to 60 in Star Trek Online without spending a dime.
Wow.
There is a time currency called dilithium. you earn dilithium by running missions, and you can use that to exchange for other currencies or to purchase a ship. Yeah, so it's you can literally not open your wallet
You can do the miser's path and not pay a dime. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's the same as Star Trek Timelines game also. You can play for free, but even though in the bit that I was doing it, and at first I was like, who would pay? Why would you spend money when you could do it for free? And you do it enough and you're like, yeah, you know, 99 cents here would actually help out. It's not, yeah, you throw in a little bit. It's not going to kill me. So if I decided to start tomorrow, would I start at quote unquote season one, or do I start at the season that was just announced a couple days ago?
So the seasons work more like expansions, right? So you would start from where everybody started at first, right? So that's season one, and you play story missions. It's very arced according to the story that they've written out in terms of the lore. So you wouldn't jump in immediately to start playing the featured episode that was released with season 13. You would start from the beginning. You would start as a fresh out of the academy and thrown onto the helm of a ship that you have to protect, and then go through the existing story. So Klingon War, battles against the Borg, the development of new Romulus. So Romulus is now defunct after the Hobus system.
Yeah.
So you have to help the new Romulans, right? Detan from Unification, the young boy that Spock introduces to.
He's now an old man.
He's now an old man.
Awesome.
And the leader of the Romulan Republic. So you go through all these stories, and the seasons are more than just story. The seasons also enhance the game in some way, shape, or form. So they improve on systems. They introduce new technologies, new games, new subsystems into the game that as you progress, you can continue to participate in.
So if I start today or tomorrow, mm-hmm. It would take me X amount of time to catch up to you, basically.
Yes, yeah.
But go ahead.
But I would argue you don't want to rush it.
No, not at all.
The best part of Star Trek Online is the story. Mm-hmm. Don't rush this. Take your time.
Well, it would be like, let's say this was in the 90s and everybody else was watching season 6 of the Dominion War of Deep Space Nine, and then you would have access to, well, in those days it would have been VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. But you'd be like, no, start at the beginning and then...
Right.
Do it quickly, and maybe you'll catch up eventually, but do it on time. If one wanted to be a jerk and be like, oh, all my other friends are in season 13, can you jump ahead if you want to? Or
some of the missions are gated by level, so you have to reach a certain level before you can play those.
Achievement
those
unlocked.
Episodes. Yeah.
See, that's another gamer's term.
Right. So a particular achievement unlocked, but it's also... it's gated by story as well. So you cannot progress to the next episode of Star Trek Online until you complete a previous episode. And that's gotcha. Not all the episodes, but a majority of them work that way. So you have to go in order.
Gotcha.
And it's designed that as you go through the story, you're also leveling up. So you kill a baddie, you earn XP, experience points to level up your character.
Sure, makes perfect sense. All right, well, that answers my principal question, because I've never quite understood how it would have like a season. Mm-hmm. So this is my second question. From what I always understood about MMOs, massively multiplayer online RPGs, mm-hmm. role-playing games, is that everybody who's plugged into it, and there are many Star Trek Online players, they're all in the world, in the sandbox at the same time together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't understand this. If I come in and I'm only at level 1, and you guys are on 13, when I'm zooming around the quadrant, I'm not going to bump into you guys.
You will. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all in the same environment. What ends up happening is that, you see, Star Trek Online is unique in that you can play the game as a solo player without talking to anyone else. It's not recommended. It's an MMO by design.
Reg Barclay would do that,
right?
But he probably shouldn't. He needs to get out of his shell a little bit.
Exactly. But what ends up happening is if I'm level 1 and Jake is level 13, I can ask Jake for assistance and he can take me on as a mentor. So my level kind of ups to his a little bit.
So I can play the missions that I've already played. You can replay your mission. So I can play with him. He types in, you know, at Coffee Milk Guy, you know, 1980. And off I zoom to help him with you know, the first
arc. So he can kind of observe.
Right.
And assist. Well, not just
you can
or he could also
on.
Screw with your mind a little bit. He can be like Berlinghoff Rasmussen and pretend like he knows what's going on, right. But actually not.
He could.
All right. So that's a whole level of interaction that is mind blowing to me. That's really cool.
You know, I even want to add something to it because, you know, we're in convention season now, right? So people are starting to gear up for something like Star Trek Las Vegas or New York Comic Con or whatever. And one of the things that I've learned going to conventions is that you start to miss people. Right, you make friends at the conventions.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so Star Trek Online is an awesome, awesome environment to keep in touch with those fellow Trekkies.
Right,
because you can log into the game, you know, chat with them via text or join on something like TeamSpeak or Ventrilo and talk to each other and experience this journey 30 years past Nemesis with someone else.
Right, right.
And you don't have to wait till STLV.
It's probably one of those things that you have to do it and see it to totally understand, but if you're like at the most current in the story and your buddy's 5 seasons behind, you're kind of putting your own story on hold for a second to go hang out with that guy a little bit, because you're not really propelling your story forward if you're back when he's doing the, you know, the Kittimer attack or whatever it is. But still, it's the social aspect of it.
Right.
Okay. All right. I think I got that. And that is intriguing to me. Now, the other thing is when you play, you don't play as Picard or Janeway. You play as you,
your own captain. Yeah,
and
yep.
You don't, and you are. But Picard and Janeway are in the game, or some of them are, and some of them aren't.
Some of them are.
The actors who wanted to do the voiceover work are in
right,
it.
Right.
All
right.
So Picard and Janeway are not in it, but Harry Kim is.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
he's no longer an ensign. Which is
that's
good.
That's good. Good. Because it's all set 30 years after
Nemesis. Yeah.
So that's 29 years after Spock in the Black Hole, or we don't know the exact. We'd have to do the telemetry on that.
Hold on, I can.
You don't have to look it up.
All right.
X amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So, give me kind of the day one. What's life like in the universe?
Yeah.
30 years after Nemesis, I've been dying to know.
All right. So,
is Data in B4?
Data is in B4.
I knew it!
Data is in B4. So there is something called the path to 2409. 2409 is when Star Trek Online starts, that story.
Yeah.
Right? So again, 30 years past Nemesis. In that time, a bunch of things have happened, right?
Yeah.
So Picard has retired. He is, he was the Vulcan ambassador after he stepped down from captaining the Enterprise. B4 is now Data.
Got his name changed legally.
Legally, right. To Data, yes. And there's still some mix-up. Data feels a little bad that he took over B4, so he's working on trying to bring B4 back.
Yeah, new issues.
Yeah, some new issues. Who else? Who else is a big...
Is Riker and Troy are on the Titan? Or?
Yes, they are.
Yes, they're on the Titan.
So there is a great deal of symmetry between the books and mm-hmm. the story.
Right.
So if it happened in the mostly canonical Star Trek books that are post Nemesis, the Destiny trilogy.
They do divert from Destiny, so the fan theory is they're alternate parallel timelines.
Oh yeah, give me some of this. Let's dive into this a little.
That's pretty much the theory.
Oh, okay. But why was there a nebula that exploded or something, or device of some sort that
different writers?
Different. Okay, so. Post Nemesis, mm-hmm. up until the Destiny, we'll call that the Destiny fork. How does that sound?
Perfect. Yeah.
So there was a similar side by side symmetry, and then the Destiny series and the books are kind of doing their own thing, and Star Trek Online is doing its own thing, but there probably is some rhyming between the two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I bet you there are fans that get very excited when they say, oh, that thing that just happened to Harry Kim here, that was mentioned in blah, blah, blah's book over here.
Ezri Dax is mentioned as the captain of the Aventine, things like that. You
okay,
know?
All right, good. Like I love Ezri Dax.
And the Vesta is in the game.
Yeah. Okay.
That beautiful, beautiful ship.
Is there any New Frontier action in there? Is there Captain Mackenzie Calhoun?
Yes,
show
as
up?
A matter of fact, there is. Mackenzie Calhoun is hanging out at Starbase K7.
Oh, that's where he would hang
along
out.
Icheb and Naomi Wilder.
Wait. Time out. Yeah. Icheb is in this? Give me a break. Right.
Now, he didn't voice. He hasn't voiced.
Oh, but just the face of Icheb.
Yes. The face of Icheb.
But the face of Naomi Wilder
and
is
yeah,
in there?
She's right by his side.
Oh, good for her. Yeah. I love her. How's she doing? Because now she's 30. She's probably like 40 now.
Yeah.
She married, have kids?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, awesome. That's nice.
In my head, she does, yeah.
That's nice. She was a lovely, lovely girl. Yeah. All right, cool. So, bigger stuff. You said now Romulus did explode because of that comet that Spock tried to defeat, and then he couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So, where are they building new Romulus?
So they are.
And where are they getting the proto matter for such a?
No, they didn't have to terraform a planet. They found a planet.
Would it be terraforming or romiforming?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Knowing those Romulans.
Yeah.
But Datan is leading the campaign to have a peaceful Romulus, you know, no more Tal Shiar, or he's trying to have a no more Tal Shiar, no more subversiveness. However, the Tal Shiar is playing a key role in this story. We have Denise Crosby reprising her role as Empress Sela.
Yes.
And she comes in, and awesome. Denise Crosby has been doing a significant amount of voice work for Star Trek Online.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, that whole arc, most of the arc, dealing with the Romulus story, you have Denise Crosby voicing it, and it's amazing. She just slips right back into the role, and it's so immersive, absolutely immersive. So it's if you're a Star Trek fan and if you love that Romulan story, yeah, you're going to want to play this.
Okay, cool. So let me ask you my second big question. And again, this is very basic, and forgive me for sounding like a moron. Because what you've described to me sounds really cool. It sounds like watching great TV or a movie or reading the book or the comic. You're telling me that Sela is back and she's fighting Datan, and they're struggling for the future of Romulus. But this is still a game, and it's still a video game, and video games involve moving ships around, firing phasers and whatnot. I mean, at the end of the day, it's probably there's aspects of this game that are a little bit like asteroids at some point. You got to shoot something. So what is sort of the ratio of I'm going to sit back and watch what's been recorded and you know, made an animation and record versus it's an open sandbox, and my ship and my away mission, because I think you do both, my characters are going to determine the story.
Right.
Or determine, and how does the gameplay actually work? Because I was actually looking at videos last night, and I was a little bit confused. So that was a multi-part question, but I turn the table over to you.
So the cinematic and the voiceover happens while you're playing missions, while you're playing these story missions. So it's not like you go in and you can just hit play on a video, right, and watch it. These happen as you are rolling through your character and leveling up.
Which is different from a traditional cutscene.
There are cutscenes, but they're in the middle of the story that you're playing.
Okay.
So all of a sudden you do something, you trigger an action, and boom, cutscene.
Oh, I see.
And then you have Sela talking to you, you have Harry Kim giving you instructions, explaining what's going on. Tim Russ, you know, if you're on a Dyson sphere, because he's
which can happen.
Which can happen, and does happen.
I use one to vacuum my carpet at the Dyson sphere.
So you experience it. You go through the story, and you live the cinematic as if though you were a character on an episode of canon episode.
Right.
Now, the thing about Star Trek Online is that it's really two MMOs in one, right? The traditional MMO that most people are familiar with, it's either in space or either on the ground, right? World of Warcraft on the ground, something like Eve in space. Space Sims like Elite Dangerous, again in space. But Star Trek Online offers you two experiences as a captain leading an away team on the ground and as a starship captain fighting in space, in three-dimensional space. Limited three-dimensional space, but still three-dimensional space. So it's exciting because you don't get bored. You really don't get bored playing Star Trek Online. Now, arguably, the space combat is probably one of the highlights of Star Trek Online.
Yes.
I mean, it's what brings people in.
Sure.
Because it's not as complicated as like a space sim, like where you need a joystick and you got a throttle and you can't control it.
I would never be able to do that.
Mm-mm.
Low price of entry too. You just need a mouse and a computer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And not even a heavy computer either. I mean, it'll run on, if you have a 5-year-old desktop or laptop, it'll run.
What, now let's talk a little bit about the ships. You don't have to play as Federation, right? You can play as any number of, Cardassian.
You can play as, so there are three factions.
Mm-hmm.
The Federation, the Klingons, and the Romulans.
Aha.
So you can pick one of those three factions.
And within those, I'm sorry, within those factions, there are different races. So if you pick the Federation, you can be a Vulcan, you can be a human, you can be an alien, you can be a Saurian, you can be, and if you pick...
A Saurian.
Yeah, awesome. Pretty cool, yeah.
I never see the Saurians.
Actually, the Saurian is the president of the Federation now.
What?
Yeah. Mind blown.
Demand a recount. Are you kidding me? But hold on a second. So, all right. So if you're a Romulan, the Romulan arc that we're talking about, do you play it differently?
Yes.
Because, so not everybody has the same experience in this game. So if you play Star Trek Online and you're let's say you're both about to start level 13 because you're caught up, but you're as a Romulan and you're as a Federation Benzite or something.
Which you can do.
I love the Benzites because they have that little harmonica with them at all times. So if you're a Benzite, you're playing you're playing not two different games, but your perception of it is a little different, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you can loosely argue that you have six games.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It would take a pretty good argument to convince somebody of that, which I can't do. But really, you have six games because you've got three factions. Each one has its own unique story.
Oh.
The Romulans are a little bit in the middle.
Yeah.
But there's also a TOS faction, which they've just released.
I read about this.
Which
and
is
this
really
very
cool.
exciting. So yeah. So let's, I guess due to probably a lot of demand, there's a storyline in which, what is it, just a particular character that you can play as, or?
No, you, same as.
Was like sucked through a wormhole.
Yes. We don't want to spoil, no spoilers, you know.
Well, it was in the Wikipedia
but you do,
page.
Yeah,
so.
But you do end up playing with other people, so you get there somehow.
Now you never get to play. You never get to play like as a checkoff or a date or anything.
But
you're
somebody
always,
from that.
But
era.
Somebody from that era will join you. So, for instance, in this TOS season,
yes,
Walter Koenig voiced.
Right.
So
right.
He's on. He's on.
So you don't. You're still playing your character, but you're interacting with a red shirt from back in the day or something.
And
like
their character creator is pretty impressive. You could probably create Chekhov and name him like you know. Krekoff and
so you can create it. So along the way, you can create a new character, even if you've been playing as Ensign Jones of. If you want to do a vanilla, I'm Ensign Jones from the Federation. Leave me alone. I'm from Earth. I'm on one of the Federation ships, Galaxy class probably. but along the way, you want to say, I want to stop playing. I want to put that guy on pause, and I would like to be a Tholian or something.
You can't be Tholian, but you can absolutely do that.
Tholians don't speak. They use thought colors. Yeah. It's very confusing. All right. So that was a bad example. But if you want to become a Benzite,
right. So you put that character down. You just
okay.
And then you have character slots.
But
yeah,
you
I think
don't
you
dump all of your Ensign Jones's stuff.
No. Well,
into
you,
him.
Some of the
some
collect,
items.
Yeah.
Can.
Some of the stuff you can transfer
you
between.
Collect in the field. You find a phaser rifle and you collect it, or you would gain experience points by. Strangling somebody or something.
Right.
And that's traditional to most MMOs, where some items you can transfer to other players. I made an awesome phaser. I'm going to gift it to Jake or vice versa.
Yeah, you thought it was awesome. He actually didn't want it.
Yeah, he didn't want it.
Too polite to say anything. All right, cool. All right, it's starting to click. But I find it very interesting that based on whether you play Klingon, Romulan, Federation will determine a little bit your experience of it. Mm-hmm. I also imagine that there are ways to play and to complete a level where you don't necessarily see everything. Is that possible? Like you would, I don't want to say skip or cut corners, but there's probably little things in the nooks and crannies, side missions or whatever you want to call them, that are really cool, but maybe by accident or just because you're in a rush, you might miss it, and your friend would be like, "Oh my God, did you see that thing? There was that whole." And you're like, "No, I missed that."
Yeah, you have that main story arc, and that'll get you through most of the levels. And then, for instance, you go to Earth Space Dock, and you find an NPC, a non-playable character, standing there with a little icon over his head, and he'll give you a mission to do, a side mission, a side quest.
Right. You go to Deep Space Nine at some point. When I went there was, so when the game launched, 2010. There was I got an invitation and I was like, oh my God, Star Trek. Yeah, I'm like online. Well, I don't really know too much about video games, but I'll go. And the guy, it was like a very fancy hotel. It was funny. I wish you guys had been there.
I know.
Because it was that's what sucks is that they didn't invite you, they invited me. I don't know what the hell's going on. And there were some very fancy televisions, giant flat screen TVs and computer terminals over in a fancy hotel here in Manhattan. And there was like cocktails and hors d'oeuvres and a lot of very attractive people walking around.
Yeah, I'm a little upset I wasn't invited
and
to this.
And then I go to sit down. I'm like, how do you play? Like, I'm like, where's the joystick? I don't know. I don't play many video games, mostly because I don't know. I just don't. I have nothing against video games. And a lot of my friends have a PlayStation, the Xbox, all those things. I got a Wii for my nephew once. That's about all I got. So, and I started asking questions, and he didn't know what the heck I was talking about. And then Zachary Quinto showed up, and he was actually really fun because he had recorded the sort of welcome to Star Trek Online. I don't know if it's still his voice when you first start.
He is a emergency medical hologram.
Right? No, he's the EMH, right?
Yep.
And so I asked him an in-universe question, and I'm like, "Why don't you look like Louis Zimmerman then, if you're an EMH?" And he looked at me like I was from a destroyed Romulus. He was very nice, but he's like, "Hey man, I just think the game's really cool. I'm really excited for fans to get into it. All right, I gotta go."
Right.
I'm like, "Well, all right, fair enough." But that was that.
Well, don't forget that the EMH in Voyager, there was a Mark III that was played by
Andy Dick.
Yeah, by Andy Dick.
Right. But I would.
So he's Zachary Quinto's EMH is Mark 40.
There you go. That's the answer. That's the answer. I don't know. Anyway, so why did I bring this up? I brought this up because so I did play around a little bit, and I just kind of walked around the promenade. I'm like, this is great. You know, this is really cool. I'm just like, I'm just some dude walking around the promenade. It feels just like Star Trek. They did not tell me it was 30 years later. I don't think that I only learned last night when I started reading about this, but, or maybe I knew that, but, anyway, the point is, you guys have done a much better job of explaining why a fan would want to play, but there is the issue of, there is a bit of, if you're a little older or even me, I'm of video game age, but once you get past like Space Invaders and, what's another one? Battle Zone, Zaxxon, Tempest, Gauntlet. I remember that one was kind of a good one. That was a multiplayer game, too. Once you get past that, it does get a little bit complicated. And I do go to a friend's house, and they have the Xbox, and I hold the controller, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of buttons here. But there's not a lot of buttons in Star Trek Online, right? Because it's a different type of game. There isn't so much on some games where you... was it like Call of Duty and whatnot? You got to be fast and fleet and on your feet. And you got to strife and strafe and duck and shoot and point and run. That aspect of gaming isn't really in this, right? Like it's not like a
Twitch game.
No, it's not. You see, like Call of Duty has far less commands than Star Trek Online, and most MMOs will take up your entire keyboard. You can completely program your entire keyboard to actually play the game. But I don't want that to turn people off to Star Trek Online because the barrier to entry for Star Trek Online is no more complicated than sitting down to a tabletop like Ascension. Because I've tried tabletops, and I just do not have the patience nor the brain power to learn an entire tabletop game and then spend 5 hours like you did, like you said earlier.
It was once, and we've been trying to schedule another one, and with everybody's, it's difficult. But once you get into it, if you book a Sunday, it's a blast.
Right.
But everybody's got to live in the same town.
Exactly.
And there is always one guy who really knows it. And the others, when I played Ascension, I was constantly asking questions. What do I do again? What do I do with this? And he'd be like, don't you remember? That's your, you trade up for that. And then you get your building point. Like, oh, yeah. Okay. So, but you're telling me that Star Trek Online is no more difficult, in fact, less difficult than that game.
I would say so. I would say it's less difficult than like a tabletop strategy game.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned Xbox and PS4. In the last year, Star Trek Online ported over the game to be able to be played on a console. Now, you cannot program. You have, X amount of buttons on an Xbox or PS4 controller versus an entire keyboard and mouse. So they spent a lot of time redesigning the user interface on the console to make it easy for you to switch through powers, rotate, pick what you want to fire and fire at. So the user experience on console is much, is different than what you would experience on a PC.
That's what you're saying in a diplomatic way is it really should be played on a PC.
I would say so.
Okay,
fair enough. But another wrinkle is it's not for Mac, right?
So it was for a while, and they killed it. However, there are ways around it. You can use something like a wine skin to play it, or Boot Camp, or Parallels. Let me ask you a question,
because you're kind of getting my interests up. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of jealous now that I'm not playing this game. So I have a Mac. I'm a Mac because I'm a Philistine. So because they're easy. I have an iPhone, Mac. Yep. My wife's got an iPad. The whole thing.
What kind of Mac?
Air, a Mac. I got the one for the guy who's always traveling and doesn't really do a lot of stuff with it other than email.
Okay.
But you said that on any PC, even one that's a few years old, right? So if I go to, was it half.com or something, you can get a PC. If I wanted to do a PC that was just a dedicated Star Trek Online PC, I'd probably get that for like $150, all right?
I would shoot probably more for like 200. Yeah, come on. $250. It has to be.
Do I hear 225? Yeah,
maybe like 500. Maybe like 1,000. But I'll go like, no, I'm just kidding.
It's, you know, the game, it's a 7-year-old game, right? So the technology doesn't require a lot of horsepower. It really doesn't. What the minimum requirement is DirectX 10. So anything running XP, that's not going to play the game anymore. But you can get, if you're running a 5-4-year-old desktop PC at home, you should be able to load up Star Trek Online again for free, download it right onto your computer, mm-hmm. and start running it. It may not look as pretty as if you were running it on a $800 machine, but you're still going to be able to experience that story and live in the Star Trek universe.
Right. All right. Would it be crazy to get the last time I had a non-Mac computer was like a DOS situation.
Oh man.
I've been very dedicated. You know, once you switch over to the Mac, it's you're in. You're sucked in, you know, and you can't get out. And That's not true.
I switch back and forth all the time.
Do you?
Okay.
Well, you teach at Princeton. You got a whole other...
I wish, man.
Oh, you were associated with Princeton University in some capacity. So you teach the guy next to you.
Pretty much.
All right, so that's my headache. Let's see. Maybe I'll give myself an early Hanukkah gift this year and buy an inexpensive thing, and then I can try to play it, and then I'll call you guys when I don't know what the hell.
I'll tell you what. I'll build you a machine somewhere. I'll find something and shoot you an email.
I don't want you. Don't build.
Not like no. I mean like I'll go online. Oh, I'll tell you. Okay, you need. I'm not gonna. I love you. I love you, Jordan. But you know, we just met, man. I'll go online. I'll pick something bare bones that'll run the game and you can enjoy it, and then we can share it with the community, and that way they can kind of get an idea.
And then I can find you in the world.
In the
Alpha Quadrant, yeah, and be like, hey, I'm still in season one. How do I defeat this Gorn or whatever is that? Are the Gorn in there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're
in
there.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. The Tholians are there, but you can't play as them.
Right.
You probably can't play as Gorn either, right?
Oh, no, you can play as Gorn.
See, this to me is silly, though. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, talk to me.
Because why would you want to play as a Gorn? Because, A, they're dumb. They just hiss and are slow. But B, like, you know, what's the experience? First of all, we don't even know that much about the Gorn, really.
Which is kind of cool.
No. You want to be as a human. Let me tell you guys about Star Trek Online.
All right.
To play this game, you want to be a human or a Vulcan or a Klingon. If you're not one of those three, it's...
You're doing it wrong?
You're doing it wrong.
All right.
What do you play
I've got a few characters, actually.
What's your main guy?
My main guy is a human Federation.
See?
Yeah.
And your main...
Yeah, is a joined Trill Federation.
All right, Trill is fair. Right, Trill is basically... I would never say this to a Trill's face, but they're basically human. No, that's fine. A couple of spots is not a big deal. All right. See, I think if you play something bizarre as a Gorn or an avian Zindi or something like that is going to be crazy, right?
Yeah, but maybe your alt character, the second guy you play.
All right, it's an alt character, just, sure. You know. Sure. And obviously, you know who I would... the dude from Star Trek Into Darkness, the most disliked film in all the series, that dude with the deep voice and the
android.
Eyes, that android.
You actually can get him as a bridge officer.
0718 is what he's called.
And he voiced for the game.
Yeah.
They brought him into voice for the game.
0718.
He's in there, yeah.
That doesn't make any sense though because he's in the alternate timeline.
Ooh. So in one of the seasons, in one of the seasons, they you cross over into the Kelvin timeline.
No joke. Yeah. Wow.
I want to say this happened in 2000 in one of the seasons in 2016.
Yeah. So you meet 0718. Yep. Is Zahara there? That kind of cute anime girl?
No. Who's like, with the big eyes.
No. No. Not her. That's a different one. Zahara. She's if you read the comics, you guys got to read the comics too. She's the security officer. She's got the white hair.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of
spooky. No, she's not in there either, no. She's not in there.
You got to get her in.
Actually, funny side note about the comics. In the Countdown series, right? Because, again, the Countdown starts in the Prime timeline.
Correct.
When you see Data on the bridge, he is wearing a Sierra uniform from Star Trek Online because the artist that drew for that comic was a big fan of Star Trek Online.
Ah, Easter eggs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's got to be a zillion. There's probably an Easter egg a day on Star Trek Online, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you play as Cyrano Jones? No, you can't play as characters that are known. You can play as races and species.
But again, you could play Nirano Zones if you want, and you know, make
you
a guy
create Nirano Zones.
Right, a reasonable facsimile.
Listen, I've seen Yoda walk around.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not.
Yeah,
right.
I've seen Yoda. Somebody made a Joker. Winters, our audio engineer in Ireland, he has a Joker character.
Well, you know, the Joker, I could see a little bit because there is the Star Trek Green Lantern crossover, and Green Lantern does exist in the same universe as the Joker, so I'm willing to buy that a little bit more. But Yoda, get him the hell. Yoda can take a.
But really, at its core, what that is spotlighting really is that the character creator for Star Trek Online, the sky's the limit for you.
Yeah.
If you are the creative type that wants to go in and make your own race or play your own type of character, the character creator for Star Trek Online is robust.
The community calls it space Barbieing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I think if I were to start, I don't know what I would do. I mean, because if I could play as any character from Star Trek, I would play as.
What about Liberated Borg? Would you do Liberated Borg? Because you could do Liberated Borg.
Yeah, but
like a Seven of Nine. Kind
I don't
of
know. That's too much mental baggage. I think,
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I mean, I love Major Kira. She's probably my favorite. She's not my favorite character to watch, but she's the character that I most care about. Mm-hmm. I've told Nana Visitor this more than once, and she thinks I'm a psychopath. But I tell her that I really care about what Major Kira's up to and how she's doing. Has she shown up in the
story?
She
has not. No.
Yeah, all right. We got to work on that. But you can't play as her, and I don't know that I would want to be another. Oh, maybe a Bajoran.
You can play Bajoran.
Mm-hmm. I would want to be one of those. Like Ro or Kira, maybe probably a feisty female Bajoran freedom fighter. But would that want to be my main one? And then I'd want to be like a goofball, like a Harry Mudd or somebody,
Or
a Gorn. With a little less prostitution involved, but kind of a mellow, sort of like a watered down PG version of a Harry Mudd is more my speed. But then there's also I want to play Mr. Federation, Mr. or Ms. sort of, straight as an arrow, potential Riker, potential Janeway type character,
That's how I feel. For me, the experience in Star Trek Online has been because I want to continue and experience what I saw on the television.
Yeah.
When I created my first character, it was the Joint Trill. I liked because you get special traits depending on the race, right?
Yeah.
So you get a heightened accuracy or something, but I didn't want to stray away because, like you, my immersion. I want to be immersed in the Star Trek mythos.
Yeah.
So and most players will feel that way. Even players that haven't even bought the game or tried the game are gonna want to experience what you experience.
Right.
And you can. That's the best part of it. Is that you can go ahead, create that human Federation Riker style beard and live it, man. Live it.
Now if you have two characters or multiple characters, you can't play them simultaneously though.
No. Mm-mm.
So you can't put your Gorn sidekick in the room with you. Okay, so if you have a bunch of friends that want to play, do you then have your own ship, or is it still like individuals?
Everybody has their own ship.
Okay, so you don't have you can't be all on the bridge together.
Well, you can, but it doesn't do anything. It's just more like a party zone. So I can go, come check out my cool bridge.
All right, you can't fly into battle. You're not zooming against the Borg sphere.
Yeah, I'm not in the captain's chair. And you're,
okay, there's a new game coming up, which I have played and really got my fingers dirty. the VR game.
Yep, the Bridge Crew.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys had
I had the opportunity of playing it over at the New York convention that happened this last October.
Yes, that's when I did it also.
And
yeah.
I loved it, but you see, you want to talk about barrier to entry?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have a $2,000 rig to play that game.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Plus the headset, you're talking about
between the computer itself, the headset, yeah. There's a financial barrier to entry, but nevertheless, it's a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
And they've improved upon it. Now you can play TOS. Now there's a TOS era there.
Right, I heard about that. It's not out yet, right?
No.
They delayed it. Mm-hmm. That's sort of been a theme for Star Trek lately, is delaying things, but you know, wait till it's finished.
But it was super fun. And I wasn't nauseous. Were you nauseous when you played it?
I wasn't nauseous, but I was totally inept.
Yeah.
I was, we did it, and for those who don't know, what we're talking about, it's Oculus Rift, right? So you put your headphones on, you put a thing over your face, and if you wear glasses, like 97% of Star Trek fans do, it'll still fit over your glasses, so don't worry. And it's total, you know, VR. It's total, you can look down and see your shoes. You can, as you zoom into the, it's not the Enterprise. It's another ship, the name of which I don't remember.
The Aegis.
There you go, yes, the Aegis. Right. And you go in, a la Star Trek The Motion Picture, they put you in a little shuttle as you approach. And you probably can skip past this if you want. You hit X and you move on. But that scene, you're not really doing anything other than just sitting there, and you can move your head around, and you can see the stars. You can see a little plaque on the side of the thing.
It's gorgeous.
It really is gorgeous. And then you get there, and there are missions. And so the idea is you have three of your friends. You don't have to be in the same room. You can patch in. One guy can be across the world. And I think it's minimum of three people.
That I'm not sure of.
It's a captain,
tactical
engineer, and a tactical, and the
helmsman.
And basically, what you're doing is the little mission that I played was you warp to an area, and I want to say the Borg probably attacked another ship, and there are people's bodies spilling out over space, and you have to try to grab them with either
escape pods.
You tractor beaming them in. And then another guy is shooting the Klingon or the Borg, whatever it was. And it's very complicated. And each person is doing their own thing. And then there's the captain who's the center.
Just yelling at everybody.
Just kind of conducting. You know, engineer, up level five, you know. And basically you're just watching little dials. And if they get in the red, you have to push X until it goes down. That's basically what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think I was driving the ship. That's right. Because I kept moving us. I kind of panicked and we went in the wrong direction. And everybody was being very polite and because it was a thing at the convention where, so it wasn't like I was playing with my friends. I was playing with three strangers.
Yep.
And everybody was being really polite. And everybody else was doing really well. And meanwhile, I'm like, oh, crap. I'm driving us into an asteroid. Oh, boy. And they're like, no, try a little different. I'm like, oh, boy, I'm sorry. And there were other people there that did know me that were watching and cracking up. And I look like a knucklehead with this thing on my head. But nevertheless, it looked incredible. Mm-hmm. And yes, so that is something that I guess will be a little pricey at first, and then the prices come down. But if you're really into this sort of thing and you have the disposable income or a bank you can rob, I would recommend giving that a shot.
It's on PS4 too, the PS4 the View.
I forget what it's called.
Vita?
So it's not out yet, but
it's
I don't think
yet,
it's out.
But it'll be out on PC for Oculus Rift and PS4 for
their version of Oculus Rift. Cool.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Engage.
Engage.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Energize.
All right, so I think you answered all my questions. I didn't understand about seasons, and now that I do, I wanted to know about how the payment system works, and you explained that. Number three, I can't read my handwriting. Number four, you answered that about playing in other people's adventures while you're on your own. And you might be in the middle of an event. So let's say you're not intentionally going to bump into this guy, but you have to beam down to the planet's surface and you're on an away mission. Will you see other people's away missions if you don't sort of invite them into your world, or no?
So there's a setting in Star Trek Online where there are those side quests, right? You go, you pull up to a planet and it's like a patrol mission. There's a setting in Star Trek Online where you can opt into joining with somebody else in the team. So you're automatically teamed up with somebody, another stranger, a perfect stranger that happens to be in that same system and wanting to run that same side quest.
Right.
You can both go in and work together to accomplish the objective.
And if they're a jerk, you can just say, I don't want to play with you anymore.
Yeah, pretty much, and just warp out.
I would imagine that, because there are, you do hear sometimes in MMOs how people get harassed, but I would imagine Star Trek fans are usually not like that. They're,
yes.
As a general rule, we're a cut above. Right. Occasionally, you might run into a jerk, and if you don't want to play with them, you hit X, and they go away. Okay, I like that. Then the my final question was, we talked a little bit about Easter eggs and callbacks, and you gave me a brief intro into the story, but I don't want to know too much because that's giving it away. But can you tell me a little bit about some of the characters, just on a personal level, that you were surprised were in there and got very excited? I mean, when it's a name, when I know Neelix is in it, but they announce that in advance. Mm-hmm, they go, well, we got Ethan Phillips, and he's in the booth, and you're going to see him in the next. But sometimes it's a surprise.
Yep.
So
yep,
what? Yep. Let's start with you. What was one that that you're like, oh my god, this guy showed up?
I'm a big TOS guy, so I loved that they brought in Walter Koenig. But I like the.
Is he playing Chekhov?
Yeah, he does.
He
yeah.
is Chekhov. Yeah, okay.
An older Chekhov.
An older Chekhov. They do a nice job of.
So he's the movie era Chekhov?
Yes.
He's Star Trek, yeah. Nuclear Wessels era Chekhov?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think even beyond that, right? He's an admiral now.
Yeah, he's.
And,
it's, yeah. It, it, Pat, it's. But it's the, you know, the same uniform.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The,
yeah. Okay.
Uniform and everything. I like when real minor characters show up.
Sure, yeah.
You know, like Alexander Rozhenko shows up. Which is kind of cool, and then
he's not minor. He's core to Worf's emotional storyline. So now he's probably how old is Alexander?
In his 30s, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay,
almost 40.
Wow. Klingon years. That's Klingon years.
Yeah, Klingon years.
Right. So who voiced him? Was it they just got some guy?
It's not voiced. It's unvoiced.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some of the stuff is not voiced,
but it's definitely him.
Yes.
Like, because there's text, and he tells you what's going on in his life.
By the way.
And you can read, like, you click X,
and he shows up. You meet him at Rorapente, which is kind of cool, too. You know, like,
what is he doing there?
Ooh, I don't want to spoil anything. But it's pretty cool.
Is he working there, or is he there against his will?
I'm not going to talk to you about it. Is he
the warden of Rorapente?
You got to play, man.
Oh, my God. Alexander.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. Like, little things like that.
All right. All right, so that's your pick, is Alexander.
I'm going Alexander.
Okay, and then who's your pick?
So they usually announce who's coming on, right? But I think the biggest surprise was in one of the latest featured episodes, where you...
When you say featured episodes, you mean seasons, right?
No, so sometimes a season doesn't have a featured episode. Sometimes a season is really just is an expansion to systems. So you don't get a new story. You could season 13.
Almost always, I think.
But almost always, yeah.
Like seasons is kind of like a joke. They really mean level, right?
They mean it's more like a traditional MMO expansion.
And does that mean downloading more like a patch?
So you get a patch. Mm-hmm. And
you have to download, what's it called when you have to update your systems? You have to download an update.
Just a patch. A patch to the game.
All right, so in a recent...
So in one of the recent featured episodes was... Now, this is big spoiler. This is going to be a big spoiler.
All right, wait, hold on. If it's a big spoiler...
Yeah, you're going to want to play something.
Wait. Hold on. Okay. We have a big spoiler. Thank you. Has everyone heard it? Okay, I think... All right, enough.
Accomplished.
Okay, what do we got?
All right, so I'll give a brief overview without trying to give away too much, but you team up again with Empress Sela to investigate something that happened in the backstory of Star Trek Online, and you discover that someone didn't die that we all thought died. Who is related to Empress Sela?
That would be her mother.
Yes. So we now are learning about what happened to Denise Crosby, I'm sorry, to Tasha Yar, after she returned back with
the Enterprise C.
Yeah.
So the
wait, I thought she died in a Romulan prison. She escaped.
Well, you have to play the mission, but at the very end, so it's a very touching story because Sela wants to. It starts to learn about her mother, things that she had not known about.
Oh, she had a rough life.
Yeah, she had a rough life.
Yeah.
So she gets incarcerated at the end, and at the very end, someone is teased and makes an appearance to tell her about her mom. And it's done in such a way where you don't see a face, you don't get much information, but he puts down a little holographic figure.
Oh.
And up comes a little hologram of Tasha Yar. Do you remember?
Well, it's got to be Data.
That's what we all assume.
But Data's in. Data has been in the.
Data has not been in the game.
I thought you said. Oh, they.
He's in the lore. He's in the lore, and he's in, like, for instance,
there was lore isn't in the lore.
No.
Well, it's got to be Data. It's B4/Data.
Yeah, it's got right. We can only. It's the only logical option because he's the only one who ever had a little hologram display that showed that snake
from Measure of Man tried to take it from him even, but no. Well, that would be season 14. We would see who is.
I don't know if they're ever going to get Brent Spiner. You don't even see his face. It's like the back. It's slicked back. The skin tone seems like Data. We can only speculate that it's Data. Whether or not they get Brent Spiner the ability to use even his likeness it would be awesome. I mean, one thing that we've been told when we've had the developers on to our show is that they really want to avoid bringing in characters that they can't get voices for. They want the most authentic experience to the story.
Yeah.
So, for instance, Scotty is in the original series arc that you play in Star Trek Online, and that's voiced by his son.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I read about that.
Which is touching. Is very touching because he does a spot on.
That's great.
A version of his father. So that's the extent that we're gonna get. But you're never gonna see Captain Kirk zooming in and it's voiced by somebody else.
Right.
They don't want to do that. They
like
want to
Bugs
avoid
Bunny
it.
Once Mel Blanc died never right. sounded like Bugs Bunny.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
But there was a Nimoy did record some audio, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yep. Yeah. So you'll see Leonard Nimoy in there and hear him and
the computer is Majel Barrett, but it's not Majel Barrett. It just sounds an awful lot like
Majel
Barrett.
No, it's somebody else. Yep.
Somebody
yep.
else. Okay.
Yeah, someone else.
Cool.
Speaking of Leonard Nimoy, when he passed, they erected a memorial for him on Vulcan in Star Trek Online. So you can visit this memorial of a statue of Spock.
Right.
On Vulcan.
Because, he never came back. Right, he went through the wormhole and then he's. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right, cool. So listen, I got a nice education here. This was great. This was exactly what we needed. And again, for those of you who listened to the episode that we recorded a few weeks ago, I think it was evident that I always thought that Star Trek Online was neat. I just didn't, I have a Mac. That's my excuse, is I have a Mac.
You're so all right, but if Frito was here, Frito would have to look out.
Frito would have to look
out. You're all right.
My God. So, Frito's a very opinionated man. He is the internet. That's why we love him. So, cool. So now I have the education, and I think the fact that I do own a Mac is not going to keep me down.
No.
I think, though, I do want to be well-rounded in Star Trek, and obviously I watch the shows endlessly, and I do keep abreast of the books and the comics, but now it looks like maybe I need to know what's happening 30 years
in the future. You're going to want to. And,
How long will it take me to get up to where? I mean, that's the thing. I mean,
it depends on how many, some people will sit in front of their computer for 8 hours at a time.
Yeah. That's
and
a
then
problem.
There are players there. That's how I used to be.
Right.
And then I actually
you never saw the sun.
I never saw the sun. Yeah. Yeah. No. But now I've stepped back and now I'm much more of a casual player.
Yeah.
I'll go in and I will play the featured episode. Right. Because I want to know what's happening in the story. And then I might log out for a few weeks and then come back in. Recently, I've been playing a lot more. Recently, I've been catching up in terms of gear and whatnot. But, something I want to talk a little bit about, too, is the Star Trek Online community. So priority one, we don't work for Cryptic. We don't work for Perfect World, right?
Yeah.
We are fans of Star Trek and Star Trek Online. We're a community. And there is a community out there that new players can go in and read up on it. For instance, there's something called StowWiki, which is completely run by volunteers.
Mm.
And it is an amazing resource to learn and catch up, find out about equipment, find out about story, find out about the latest ship. Then there's something else called Stow Academy that is actually was created, again, by a member of the community that allows you to kind of mock up a ship and kind of get an idea of how powerful or what the stations are going to be for your ship and plan it out.
It gives you suggestions.
Yeah, and it gives
you suggestions. Hey, when I was first starting out, I thought I needed all power to the deflector shields, but turns out you don't need as much as you think.
And these websites are free, easily accessible, and you shouldn't be afraid to, no matter whether or not you're a gamer or not, you shouldn't be afraid to try Star Trek Online.
Yeah.
If you can, log in. It's free to play. You have nothing to lose other than an amazing experience of lore of Star Trek Online is what we haven't had a series
right
up until Discovery, maybe in the fall, right? So
and even so Discovery, at least for now, God knows what it'll be like in the future, at least for now, is not post Right. Post Nemesis. Right. It's not next. And, you know, which I think I'm of the belief that, it would be cool to know what's going on. Although you should listen in the archives of this podcast. We had writer Dave Schilling on, who made a very good argument about why the story should end. Mm-hmm. You guys might, as Star Trek Online players, you might be interested. He gave, I don't know if I necessarily sign off on it, but he was like, no, it should end where it ends. And it's cool that Discovery's in the past. And I'm like, really? And he laid out a good argument, which I can't repeat. But that's, how long ago was that, Brian?
Damn, man.
It was X amount of months ago.
It was Dave this Schilling. Year, I think.
No, it was last year.
Was it?
Dave was last year. But it doesn't matter. So that's something that is a nice way to continue this conversation, because it is, I don't think Discovery is going to go post Nemesis, and if it does, it will be like a dream sequence or like an accidental wormhole, and you never know, because that even happened on Enterprise, right? Remember the Enterprise J?
Yeah. Ooh, you can play it in game.
You cannot play the Enterprise J. Get out of
my
here. It just looked like a big see-through. It's like Wonder Woman's jet. That's all it was in space. Yeah. It's crazy looking.
It's pretty enormous. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Huge in the game. There are about 600 ships that you can choose.
You know what I like something that a lot of, I like Shinzon's Scimitar.
You can play Shinzon's Scimitar.
But how do you play Shinzon's Scimitar if you were not Shinzon?
You can name it Shinzon's Scimitar.
Wait, but
you have the scimitar. You just.
Oh, I see. It's just that when you start off, you like, and these are the ships you may play with, and you can choose
every level. Every time you level up, you gain access to new ships.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. So do you play just sort of in a galaxy class?
No, I play tier 6 constitution class, which I like a lot.
A tier 6 constitution.
Yeah. So everything's in tiers. Tier one is for 1 to 10. Tier 2 is from.
Level 1 to 10.
One to 10.
Oh, I see. So it just sort of looks like original series Enterprise, but it's just really fancy.
It's like
packs a punch.
It packs a punch. It's you play with?
I am currently flying the tier 6 fleet refit of the Sovereign, because I love that ship.
Wait,
that
what
ship
is the Sovereign? I'm blanking.
The Enterprise E from First Contact.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's a sexy ship, and I love her.
The Enterprise E. It's the Enterprise D with better lighting. It's got like real nifty lighting. It's a
little darker. The Enterprise D is a little more sectional, whereas the Savi is sleeker. She's sleeker. She can just fly right through.
It does, and it's a little crisper. Like it bashes into this. I just rewatched Nemesis the other day for something that I'm doing, and I'd kind of forgotten that probably the only time Picard ever did this is like, let's just ram the hell into them and just sort of just cut. The second half of Nemesis is not Star Trek's finest hour.
No.
Which is why I'd kind of forgotten that. But Nemesis gets a bad rap.
There is a power in the game called ramming speed.
Well, your ship would do dynamite for that, A Borg cube, not so good.
You wonder what happened to Denatra?
Sure.
Play Star Trek Online.
Well, we're going to cut it at that. It's been about an hour. This is great. You have a lot of notes here. Did we get to everything you wanted to say? What's something that you wish you'd gotten a point to? You have like a binder here.
Yeah, we prepared, man.
Oh, man. Good. I'm glad you guys prepared. Oh, and you were going to even show me some stuff.
Yeah, I can definitely show you.
We've just been yapping.
Let's turn
the camera around here.
When you play Star Trek Online,
I want to see your Sovereign ship.
Yeah.
Well, let's do it. Let's end on a button with you schlepped this your laptop all the way in from Princeton, New Jersey, and we didn't even use it.
A Surface. Look, this is a Surface book, and it runs the game beautifully. Now the Surface book is kind of pricey, but again, you don't have to spend that kind of money. When I'm logging in.
I have a friend who's really into PC gaming, has one of those Alienware. Mm-hmm. Those computers look crazy.
Those are heavy to lug around.
Yeah, no, they are. They're giant. He's really into God knows what. I think he's actually runs WikiLeaks. I don't think that he really is using it for games. I don't know what he's doing with that crazy looking computer.
All right, so we're logging in. For a recommendation, if you really want to have a very easy experience with Star Trek Online, purchase yourself a mouse with a number pad on the side. So Naga, the company Naga, has the Razer. Logitech has their own version of it. And so instead of having to hit your 1 to 0 keys on the keyboard and reach for it or click, you can just...
Because in the heat of battle, you might need that.
Right.
Let me ask you another dumb question. Can your character die in this game?
That's a really good point. So you explode... And you faint. But there really isn't a severe death penalty. It's not like Eve that when you die, you lose everything in your ship and your inventory and all that jazz.
I know less about Eve than I do about anything.
But there are games that have that.
Well, yeah, Space Invaders. The Space Invaders land, then you die, and you got to put another quarter in. That's the video games I know.
But so Star Trek Online is very, you know, it's you die, you might get some kind of brief injury, and it's super cheap.
And
or
then
you
wake up back at a saving point, is that what they call it?
Yes, you can respawn, or there's an option. If you're on the ground, you can have one of your away team, you call the AI, and they'll come and wake you up. They'll revive you.
Okay. So, but it's different from those other types of games like Prince of Persia. I'm really dating myself. That's like the last game that I played on Xbox One. I was a little bit good at that. And you would drop dead. You would fall in a hole of spiders, and they would eat you to death. Yeah. And then you would show up three stages before being like, oh, I gotta jump over this thing again.
It's a that's little not bit where, that's it's not, a little bit it's
that's
it's
not this form, type of game.
No.
That's
no.
a different type of yes. Of everything. Oh, where am I?
So this is Earth Space Dock. The revamped Earth Space Dock.
So we're this is like
the Undine destroyed the old Earth Space Dock and they took that opportunity to really revamp and make Earth Space Dock look gorgeous.
These are not the Planitia Space Yards over at Mars. This is all right. And she looks like Jadzia. That's taking a little photo. All right, good.
All right, so.
Oh, and there's the Federation. Oh, this is very nice. This, you know, it has a little touch of, you know, it looks.
There's a club. You can even dance.
Club 47.
Club 47.
Club 47. Yes. Yeah, oh my God. This is episode 46 of the show. Next week's episode 47. We really have to do a hats off to 47. All right,
so let's go into space. So now I'm going to beam up to my ship.
Nice. And is that your trill?
That's my join trill, yeah.
Your join trill. Okay, what is his name?
Elijah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. All right. And it's got the framing is the L cars sort of a CUDA looking thing. And we are now. Oh, that is a beautiful space station.
Yep.
And so you're moving it around with your mouse. So you move sort of the camera, yes?
Yep, you move the camera. Now
there's a million spaceships around there.
Yep, these are all people. These are all players from all around the world.
So you're online right now?
Yep,
I'm online right now. Okay, and you don't. It's if you said that you could play a version where you don't see any of these guys, if you want to be a Reg Barclay type.
No, you'll always see them. You just don't have to interact with anybody.
So if you wanted to be a pest and that ship over there looked a little bit like the Enterprise, you want to be like, hey, buddy, what's going on today? You could contact them.
You can right-click, send a direct PM. Actually, this is an... I don't think that's a person. That might be an NPC. So I'm going to stop my
probably
ship.
Some here listeners of your podcast.
Right.
There.
So Phoenix Vanguard here, James, I can send him a private message and say, hey, James, how's it going? Do you want to do a mission with me, James? Let's work on something together.
And he might just be like, oh my God, I fell asleep with my computer on.
Right.
I didn't
even
realize I was still churning.
So there's Earth. I mean, look, it's a beautiful game.
The graphics are extraordinary.
For 7 years old, this is a gorgeous game. Gorgeous game.
Yeah.
And they actually updated the lighting, too, so it's like a brand new game.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some combat, right? You want to see me fire my phasers?
I don't like to fight, but I suppose if we must defend something.
Let's do that. Let's.
You've just gone into warp.
Now I've warped out of orbit, and now I'm going into sector space, which is essentially the world map.
Right.
It's how you get from, you know, point system A to point system. B. Yeah.
Okay, so there's Earth, there's Sol.
Yep, yep.
Where would some villains right now? So are you in, again, forgive me, but are you in, you're not really in the story right now because you're sort of in, like, getting
rid
of, you're not in season 13 right now, you're just sort of in generic sort of, like, limbo space where you can go to the club and just sort of fart around the world. You're not like engaging in
right now
narrative.
I'm not engaging in any missions worried about,
but from this point you can just pick a mission and then you go to a system to engage that mission, so you need this map to
if
get
if you
to
want to go, let's say, you know, season 4 had a mission on Vulcan that you feel like you did a half-assed job, you're like, you know, I didn't really nail it. You can go back and sort of retrace your steps.
Absolutely.
All right, so that's very quickly just do something where you might have to
all right, let's
engage
see.
In some fisticuffs, and then let's see if you get blown up or not.
All right. Where do I want to go in Vulcan?
Are the Borg around?
The Borg. They play a big story. There's a whole arc.
I mean, was this maybe go, like, kick the hornet's nest of the Borg a little bit.
Like a Borg red alert?
Yeah, that's good. Good point.
Yeah. Oh, God. So. Is that a Renan? Oh, he looks terrifying. Yeah. Oh. All right, so now you're going through a warp. That was a very exciting.
Transwarp kind
of. You went to transwarp. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the point of view, I mean, you can move the camera around if you want.
Yep.
There's a lot of different. You can really get cinematic with this.
Yep.
The next thing you know, your wife's divorced you, and you know, yeah. you're just. Are there is a Vulcan, Patrin, or is she Romulan?
Oh, great. This red alert is not working. Oh, wait. Never mind. Hold on.
Oh, my God. I see a Borg cube.
There's a Borg. Yep. Tactical cube.
Want to know what happens to the Borg Queen?
No, no, don't tell me. I'm just excited Naomi Wildman is out there.
She's doing well.
She was always a little precocious young gal.
Now, there is some waiting in the game. You're waiting for other players to join. You have to hold for a little bit.
Yeah, we're holding. All right, so just to give you a visual here, our ship, which is the Sovereign-style Enterprise-E, it's not the Enterprise-E, it's one that looks just like it, right. is now eyeing a Borg cube. In where are you in space? You're in the
right
Alpha
now,
Quadrant somewhere.
There's
a little map on the corner. There are a lot of whistles and bells. I mean, I'm sure when
I'm
you
in
play
the Klingon area, the Goroth sector. And the nice thing too is that they've spent a lot of time making even the universe map pretty accurate.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they consulted the stellar cartography books that came out recently. So we're in the Goroth system. Oh, there's colors. It's beautiful. And now another ship has joined us. So we're in what looks a little bit like a cutscene, but then it cuts back to tactical where you are moving it around. There's a lot of different things on the bottom. There's what look like dials and images and whatnot that I'm sure once you play for a while begins to be secondhand. Right. But now phasers are firing. And the Borg cube is lit up. And he's got to use both hands. Because
No, actually, no. I can...
Oh, no. Uh-oh, our shield's down? He just got hit.
Yeah, no. Nope.
Okay. So the other people who are joining you, this is not a simulation. This is actually
this is
happening.
Actually happening, yeah.
Okay, and this is a bit of a side mission to the story arc. Is this just kind of giving your crew a little bit of a, you know, you want to keep them on their toes, get in the battle stations. You are firing phasers with rapid speed. Who are you shooting against? Is that a Romulan ship?
I'm shooting a Tholian recluse.
A Tholian? Oh my God.
Now, you know, I've set up my gameplay to be as simple and as not complicated as possible.
Yeah. There are numbers flying all over the place.
Right. Now, see, this is the damage that I'm putting out, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm playing with just the mouse and I'm hitting the space bar to fire. So again, you don't have to be a master MMO player to enjoy this game.
That's the nice thing about Star Trek Online is that you can play Star Trek Online by hitting the space bar.
And this beautiful explosion.
So I got to do an aileron roll.
Oh, wow.
Just to not die. But I'll die, and then you'll see that I just respawn.
Oh, well, I mean, you took out a Tholian with you, and those guys
and
are...
a Borg sphere.
Oh, a Borg sphere, you say. Those are lateral phasers. Where are your photon torpedoes, for God's sakes?
So I do not use torpedoes.
What?
Yeah, I'm
Jake,
that,
what's
I'm
wrong with
player.
This guy?
I'm not a player.
He's the boss. I can't say anything bad about him.
Do you use photon torpedoes, Jake?
No.
What's wrong with both of you? They're a very powerful weapon. Listen, I mean, I'm a man of peace. I wouldn't use it if I didn't have to, but... all right, you're using a lot of phasers, and you're not dead yet, but I would imagine that your lateral
I'm a half-decent player. I'm a half-decent player. So I don't...
There's a lot going
on. My hole's at like 50%, but... This is just for demonstrative purposes.
Yeah, I like that the phasers are red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
These, I'm running anti-protons.
Oh, well, you know. I usually get a doctor's note before I do that. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of polygons and numbers.
So
and
this is a Tholian web. It's They're locking you in a web, and they're trying to kill you.
Oh, the Tholians. Have you read the Vanguard series of books? There's a lot of Tholian action in that. They communicate via thought color. It's heavy-duty stuff. All right, well, listen. You know what? I'm going to let you... I'm going to watch you perish in space.
Yes.
But when you perish, your guys will come. Now, will you have lost some points, some hit points, for lack of a better term?
If my ship gets damaged. So, and it's kind of like a roll. Like, sometimes nothing happens to you, and you can just roll right in and not have to worry about a debuff. that's the technical term.
All right, well, then hit control
Z. Oh, look,
Z,
I died. Right? Look, you see,
oh,
I died.
Oh, God. Is that irrevocable? So did coming on this podcast ruin your player's experience?
I don't know. I'm sure somebody's going to judge me for dying on a Tholian red alert, but... I'm okay. I'm okay with it. For the purpose of
You shouldn't have given me your main guy. You should have given me one of your one of your scrubs.
Right. So respawn and depending on internet connectivity.
Well,
But that's essentially what
All right, cool. So I got to see two things. I got to see sort of the let's hang out, beautiful sort of vibe of the interior space of the space station and the docking bay. And then I got to see some heavy action, which involved a lot of zooming around and getting killed by Tholians. And I saw an actual Tholian web. And it looks like a a dodecahedron is what the Tholian, a curved Tholian web. Listen, guys, I can't thank you enough for coming by. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having us.
I would love to have you guys on again to talk about other things. At some point, you know, let's put that in the book. Well, you guys are going to be in Vegas, I'm sure, right?
Yep. Awesome. Kenna and I right now from Priority One are the two definite that will be there. Hopefully we'll have more members of the team.
Come on, Jake. You know, it's expensive to get there, but you can get a hotel room in Vegas for for a smile. And with a beautiful smile like yours, you can get a suite.
Thank God for radio, huh?
No, you got to, I don't, I mean, surely you have a life and work and whatnot, but you should come to Vegas this year if you can.
I'll do my best.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it. So one can listen to Priority One by just going to iTunes and searching for
it. Yep, you can search Star Trek Podcast and we'll pop right up there, or you can search for Priority One Podcast.
And you have your own website, which is?
PriorityOnePodcast.com.
Yeah.
And we have a bit of an announcement, if you don't mind.
No, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
All right, the announcement.
Go for it. We have just teamed up with Roddenberry Entertainment for their official Roddenberry podcast network. So we are joining Mission Log and Women at Warp. So we are Priority One, a Roddenberry Star Trek podcast.
Guys.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
So they do Mission Log, and we've been. It's funny. We've been talking about doing a cross podcast show with them also, which I've been meaning to get to. And now you're part of their
family
distribution network.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So there will be more details, you know, coming down the pike.
Okay. Cool.
There'll be an official website that players.
Well, listen. I hope, and I told this to Mission Log, and Women in Warp know this, and you know this too. At least from my point of view, despite being the quote unquote official Star Trek podcast, we have an open door, and we love everybody. And there's certainly. You know,
it's welcoming. Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a real honor to sit here and talk about Star Trek Online.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, I can't reiterate that enough. And the Roddenberry guys are a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And Mission Log is a great podcast. So there's a lot of great Star Trek podcasts.
Yes, there are.
Transporter Room 3 is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. There's the guy who does just the music. Have you listened to his podcast? Mm-mm, it's called Musical Treks, I think.
Oh, no, that one I haven't heard of.
I can't remember his name. He's the nicest guy, and he listens to the show, too. I'm so embarrassed I can't remember his name, but I can see his face. I'm terrible at names. I can see his face, and he's the nicest gentleman. And Brian, maybe we should edit that out because I feel like a jerk for not... No, leave it in. I'll be honest. I'm always honest. But I can't remember his name. He's the nicest guy. And there's a lot of great podcasts out there, and we here at Engage... have a sort of a welcoming attitude toward all fans and fandom and fan fiction and fan audio stuff and fan films, so long as they follow the rules, and you know, that's that. So that's great. And with that, we're going to say goodbye. Listen to Priority One every week, right?
Every week, every Monday, there's a new episode.
Awesome. All right. So until then, let me beam you guys out. You know, you're going to share a beam now because now you get a little close. You get a little closer.
Not that close, Jake.
Don't step on his foot, but we're going to...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.